Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
February 27th, 1860. Abraham Lincoln speaks at Cooper Union. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The lecture that had consumed Abraham Lincoln was scheduled to be delivered at Henry Ward Beecher's Plymouth Church in Brooklyn. The Democratic Illinois State Register commented, "Subject not known. Consideration, $200 in expenses. Object, presidential capital." As it turned out, the venue was shifted across the East River to Manhattan. And so on this date, Monday, February 27, 1860, Lincoln would rise to address New Yorkers gathered in the Great Hall of the Cooper Institute for the Advancement of Science and Art, the brainchild of the inventor, Peter Cooper. His law partner, William Herndon, recalled of Lincoln and the Cooper Union address, "No former effort in the line of speechmaking had cost Lincoln so much time and thought as this one." In the State Library in Springfield, Lincoln had searched through the dusty volumes of congressional proceedings and spent time with historian Jonathan Elliott's edition of The Debates in the Several State Conventions on the Adoption of the Federal Constitution. In New York in late February, Lincoln polished the text in his quarters at Astor House, the Grand Hotel next to St. Paul's Chapel at Broadway and Vesey. The Cooper audience was learned, influential, and exacting. Worried about the impression he was to make, Lincoln had brought a new suit from Illinois, but it was wrinkled from the journey and, in any event, didn't quite fit. The collar of his coat on the right side had an unpleasant way of flying up whenever he raised his arm, Herndon recalled. The editor and poet William Cullen Bryant presided over the evening, and Lincoln worried that the crowd might note the contrast between his Western clothes and the neat-fitting suits of Mr. Bryant and others who sat on the platform. All such concerns evaporated, though, as Lincoln said what he had come to say to the crowded Great Hall. It was a lawyerly address, rooted in fact. The frontier politician forewent stories and jokes, as if to make absolutely clear to the sophisticates of New York that he was a serious man who ought to be taken seriously. Lincoln made his case with precision. The nation lived under a constitution framed by those who intended for the federal government to prevent the spread of slavery. He said, "This is all Republicans ask, all Republicans desire in relation to slavery. As those fathers marked it, so let it be again marked. as an evil not to be extended, but to be tolerated and protected only because of, and so far as, its actual presence among us makes that toleration and protection a necessity. Let all the guarantees those fathers gave it be not grudgingly, but fully and fairly maintained. He was talking about slavery versus freedom, reason versus unreason, nationhood versus sectionalism. Lincoln said, "I do not mean to say that we are bound to follow implicitly in whatever our fathers did. To do so would be to discard all the lights of current experience, to reject all progress, all improvement. What I do say is that if we would supplant the opinions and policy of our fathers in any case, we should do so upon evidence so conclusive and arguments so clear that even their great authority, fairly considered and weighed, cannot stand." There was no such evidence, no such argument, when it came to slavery's expansion. As Lincoln saw it, white Southerners were staking everything on a defensive and belligerent worldview. It was all, or it was nothing. Such was not the path to democratic deliberation, but to total war. Lincoln saw this, he knew this, and he warned his audience about this. To blindly and repeatedly assert one's own position, one's own righteousness, one's own rectitude in the face of widely held opinion to the contrary was not democracy. It was an attempt, rather, at autocracy. A bid, as Lincoln said, to rule or ruin in all events. Democracies could not endure if absolutism prevailed. Tomorrow on Reflections, we'll finish this brief discussion of the Cooper Union Address. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C-13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge, Margot Gray, and Chris Basil. Production assistance by Andy Jaskowitz and Adam Macias. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.